If it was only a look he wanted, why did he bring his ammunition with him when he stepped out? Because it was his only gunna, and slung over his back, whispered one of the faces carved into the curve of the wall. This was the face of Mordred. Roland saw no hatefulness there now, but only the lonely sadness of an abandoned child. That face was as lonesome as a train whistle on a moonless night. There had been no clip for Mordred's navel when he came into the world, only the mother he had taken for his first meal. No clip, never in life, for Mordred had never been part of Gan's Tet. No, not he. "My red father would never go unarmed," whispered the stone boy. "Not once he was away from his castle. He was mad, but never that mad." In this room was the smell of talc put on by his mother while he lay naked on a towel, fresh from his bath, and playing with his newly discovered toes. She had soothed his skin with it, singing as she caressed him, "Baby Bunting, baby dear, baby bring your basket here." This smell, too, was gone as quickly as it had come. Roland crossed to the little window, walking among the shredded bits of diaper, and looked out. The disembodied eyes sensed him and rolled over giddily to regard him. That gaze was poisonous with fury and loss. "Come out, Roland. Come out and face me one to one, man to man, an eye for an eye, may it do ya." "I think not," Roland said, "for I have more work to do, a little more even yet." It was his last word to the Crimson King, although the lunatic screamed thoughts after him. He screamed in vain, for Roland never looked back. He had more stairs to climb and more rooms to investigate on his way to the top. 5.